I wanted to stay somewhat true to the original title, We Are Only Human. Learn to market just about anything by understanding your multifaceted customer. But I'm obviously not Julie Booth. So I wanted to not plagiarize her topic, her title, or whatever. So I'm gonna just talk about we're only human, right? So we're only human. We have needs, desires. We have feelings, and I think that's something that's very important when you're talking about marketing and social media and really trying to engage potential customers to cultivate leads and to convert them to paying customers. So the overall premise of this keynote is we're only human. I came up with that about, I don't know, 12 o'clock last night. So obviously I'm not Julie Booth. This is me, Eric Clark. This is my about.me page. Obviously, I love my kids, I love food, I love bow ties. I probably need an updated picture of a beard in there, but that's the essence of me, and if you want to know a little bit more about me, probably can glean everything that you want to know, maybe a little bit more than what you wanted to know if you connect with me on Twitter there. So thank you, Brianna, for inviting me back. This is sort of come full circle. Last year was my first time sort of leading conversations here at Social Media Strategy Summit, and I really appreciate sort of the engagement side of things. So throughout this talk, I just sort of want to lay a framework, and then I want you to add some meat to that. I want your questions to really enhance this dialogue, because I can only bring so much to the table. You all bring so much more. Oh, it's blurry. That's what happens when you download things from Google Drive. So I'm going to read this. Maybe. It says, and in the end, we are all just humans drunk on the idea that love, only love, can heal our brokenness. That's it. So that's F. Scott Fitzgerald. I didn't proof this. I didn't sort of investigate this, but I found this at my school. So by day, I am the director of student success, marketing, special initiatives at the Woodward School, which is a fantastic school for girls that's located about just 6 miles south of Boston. And this was floating around in one of the English classes. So this is sort of what inspired me when Brianna asked me to sort of step in, because fundamentally we all represent a business, or we all represent something that is in place to fix something that's broken. We are all trying to solve problems, whether it be a B2B solution or a B2C solution. We are all here to solve problems. Yes, I really went there, right? I'm very passionate about sort of finding the emotional side of business and really owning what I do and really loving what I do. So I went there, and yes, F. Scott Fitzgerald is very emotional, but I think the essence of that quote sort of ties in nicely to what we're gonna talk about today. So a question I want you to think about is, why does your business exist? And I touched upon it a little bit. It exists to address the need of a customer. Ultimately, your business exists to generate income for the owners, the key stakeholders, the employees. So your business exists to generate income. If it's a nonprofit, it exists to provide a service to meet a need within a specific context. So those two contexts are slightly different, but we're here to try to solve a problem. So what you can expect from my presentation is sort of getting an understanding of the importance of defining customer personas. So yesterday, I was lucky enough to sit in on Mike's talk, and he sort of polled the group and asked how many of the people in the room had predefined customer personas. And I was shocked, somewhat, maybe not really, that not everybody raised their hand. So quick show of hands, how many of the folks in this group have clearly defined customer personas or sort of knows what that term means?
Oh, I know what it means.
All right. So that's good. We might get something out of this. So what I want to do is I want to walk through the steps of defining customer personas. And I'm going to dial it back, and I'm going to come at it from the entrepreneurial lens. I'm going to show you sort of the process that one specific sort of entrepreneurial framework uses to define their customer personas when they're starting to launch a new business. And then I'm going to sort of tailor that to the online world and try to show you some tools that you can use to to really utilize those personas. And I just said that. Identify tools that can be used for social listening. And then integrate customer personas and social media listening tools into a cohesive strategy. And yes, I'm an educator at heart, and there will be homework. So, it'll be fun homework. It'll be light reading and only a couple hundred pages. But how many of you, so what else would you like to get out of this conversation? What did you come into this room sort of expecting? If you vocalize that now, I can sort of pivot throughout the course of the presentation to address some of those questions, some of those concerns. Don't be shy. Anything that you're interested in learning more about, or maybe you don't have enough sort of information right now. So as we're going along, don't be afraid to raise your hand and interject at any point in time. Are we awake? All right. It's better than my math class. All right. So I did this on a Google Drive. I downloaded it quick because the Google Drive wasn't working. So there's going to be some cool transitions here, and I thought I'd get a laugh out of the last bit. But anyway, each business, the premise is essentially a good idea, right? We want to start a business, or a business has been started because of a really good idea. Chances are most of you are here representing an established business or an established entity, so you see that good idea. Now, a good idea doesn't yield results if you don't have customers to pay for it. And that's sort of where customer personas come in. Because obviously, we all know what that is, right? I don't think I've seen that in 8 months. So that's a Gillette razor. So obviously, I am not Gillette's ideal customer persona. And we're talking very, very broadly here and very simply. But this brand, Beard Balm, would probably be a more appropriate, I would be a more appropriate customer persona for that particular brand. So we all acknowledge that it's important to have a good idea, but it's also extremely important to have paying customers. And to frame that in the context of social media, we need to identify where our paying customers are on these various different platforms. But right, I grew it throughout the summer, but that, I'm gonna hit that point right now. So customer personas are dynamic in nature. You have one now, you enter that particular market, you maximize that market, and then you try to find additional ways to generate revenue. So,
no offense to your beard. I mean, it's very lovely, so I'm just...
I did screw up the other day.
Change. Yes. Time, so, especially after November.
So, no, that, I think that feedback is very good, and we'll talk about that actually a little bit more as we go through the discipline entrepreneurship. So, Bill Ouellette, he's a professor over at MIT, and I thought it was fitting to bring this to you today because I first learned about the Discipline Entrepreneurship Framework when I was taking a massive open online course through Coursera. Is anybody familiar with MOOCs or massive open online courses? So the class I took through MIT, it's free, it's called Entrepreneurship 101, Know Your Customer. And I thought those four steps out of this 24 steps, that was very fitting to sort of tie into the idea of marketing, because you really need to identify who it is you're wanting to sell to in order to market to them. So this is a fantastic read. It's a relatively quick read. And then you jump right into market segmentation. Are we all familiar with this term? So broadly speaking, we have this vast world, right, of people. People that may or may not have money, they have different characteristics, they come from different contexts. So essentially what market segmentation is, it's taking this sort of massive global picture and identifying an island, right? So this is just one island out of these many islands. And that's not to say that these other islands can't produce revenue for you, but when we're starting off, let's focus on a single island. Now, if we look at this island, there's still some raggedy points there. So our segmentation isn't quite done. So we've identified sort of our core group of people. So Gillette, yes, they have a men and women's line, but for this particular razor, we're going to focus on men, right? So to tie into the comment, me, I might not be the easiest customer to market to right now, but eventually I could be. So what I want to do is I want to segment even further, and I want to figure out who the beachhead customer is. And remember, this isn't the framework of launching a business, entrepreneurship. it may not parallel exactly sort of our world of social media, but identifying who your influencers are, who will be the easiest to convert, the most engaging folks, those potentially could be your customer personas. So really thinking about identifying who the ideal customer is, who is going to purchase the product and really help infiltrate this particular market segment is really important. How many of you in the room have had sort of conversations with your development team or whatever department that is responsible for defining sort of business objectives? And if you've had these meetings, have they clearly articulated sort of their business goals to you to allow you to market effectively? So I historically have come from a context where that communication wasn't very open. So prior to working at the Woodward School, I spent 6 years in higher education. I wasn't in marketing, I was in student success. But I intrinsically felt that it was the entire institution's responsibility for seeking out and recruiting students. So what I did is I took my context, which is tutoring, and then I sought to listen for prospective students, and I reached out to them and I built relationships with them. So identifying, let me dial it back. So the whole point of having this conversation and sort of setting this framework is to allow you to have conversations with the people within your organization that make these decisions, and to also empower you to have these types of conversations within your own working groups if you're not privy to these types of conversations, or if these departments are very segmented or siloed. You can use this language to sort of build relationships with these different departments and start having conversations and dialogue about how you can work together as opposed to these very distinct silos. So I don't want to generalize, and there's obviously a lot of different folks represented in this room, so different contexts have different concerns, different pain points. So we can talk a little bit about those later on. So these are all things that I've gleaned from the textbook. So practical segmentation questions. So if you're not privy to the information that the folks driving the business have, or the communication channels aren't set up, what have you, these are some questions that you can talk about with your colleagues. Is the target customer well-funded? Okay. Are the people you're trying to engage with on social media, are they well-funded? Do they have the means to purchase whatever it is you're selling? Is the target customer readily accessible to your sales force? So say the biz dev team or whoever manages sort of the customer personas communicates that to you. You have to segment a little bit further to identify which of those customers are actually accessible to you via social media, whether it be whatever channel it is that you're trying to deploy at the particular time. And can you deliver the whole product? Not necessarily something that you really need to think about as marketers, but it's important to have in your toolkit as you're having conversations. I think back to the speaker, I'm drawing a blank, the speaker from Yale talking about full stack marketers. I like to consider myself a full stack marketer even though I wasn't within the marketing department, because I was equipping myself with sort of the vernacular of the field. Is there existing competition in the market? To me, this question is vital because I try to poach as many customers off competitors as I can. And I've got some tools that I use that help me listen in various contexts, whether it be geographically or folks mentioning competitors, and I'll talk a little bit about those tools in a minute. And then if you win this segment, can you use the success to enter additional segments? Now I'm thinking about the comment at the very beginning with Gillette, and maybe the two departments, the men's department and the women's department, work together. Maybe the women's department is the beachhead, yet the women directly engage with the brand, they like the brand, and then when it comes time to convert the bearded ones, you have your influencers already established. And then is the market consistent with the values, passions, and goals of the team? Yes, are we done yet? We're almost done. I'm hoping that the conversation on personas isn't horribly boring. But these are all really good questions to think about and to ask yourself as you're really trying to identify who your customer personas are. and to go back to the true title, so you can market to anyone. So what is their gender? What is their age? What is their income? What is their geography? What motivates them? What do they fear most? Who is their hero? Where do they go on vacation is pretty arbitrary, but depending on the context, it might be helpful. In this group, is anybody throughout your sort of segmentation and defining your customer persona, are there additional questions that you've asked or discussed within?
Are they the buyer to me to reach?
Right. No, I think that's important. I think if you can get somebody that influences the decision maker, and if there's a large group of those folks, that's vital. I think that's fantastic.
What complementary brands they use and what groups are they involved in or a part of?
That's fantastic. So what complementary brands and what groups are they a part of? And that ties into my listening strategy, so I'll talk about that. Did I see a hand go up in the back? Or am I? Yes. No, I think that's fantastic. And I mean, we can make assumptions. We can do the research. We test it. If we find that one particular persona doesn't work, we put it to the side and we refine some more. We try to ask more questions and really get to know the human to figure out how we can best serve them. Again, look into that book. Now, within my class that I teach at the Woodward School, this is sort of a template that I adopted from the text as well, sort of a nice way to organize the information. And I think Mike might have had one of something similar in his slide yesterday, and I know HubSpot uses something very similar. So at the top, I have end user, in parentheses, customer persona template, and the students are using this to really define sort of their end user, the person that will purchase the product. So you have their gender, their age, their level at company, education, history, so a description of their past. And I mean, these can be hypothetical stories. I like to base customer personas or buyer personas off real people. And I'll give an example of how I leveraged that at the Woodward School just a couple of weeks ago. Context, where does the user come from? What is their situation? And then personality. Because personality can help influence culture. Because when you're trying to define sort of this online culture of your brand, you have to know the personality of who it is you're wanting to engage with. And chances are it's not going to be a homogenous group, but you'll be able to glean some commonalities and really define the culture of and the context of your online persona. Again, bring in F. Scott Fitzgerald. I think this is fantastic. You can also find a cleaner image on my Instagram and Facebook. So now to the fun stuff, right? So when I first saw the title of Julie's talk, I was like, so you can market anything to your vast group of customers. And I apologize if some of you have come into for a B2B context. We can reframe the conversation a little bit. But this is a company I connected with in Ontario. The product doesn't exist yet, but we were asked to market it. We were asked to sort of build the digital identity of this particular brand. Does anybody have any idea what Clean Ends is all about? I won't make you think about it too far. So Clean Ends is for the clean bottom end. So the premise of this company is to save the environment by creating an alternative to disposable wipes that grown adults use. Because in Ontario, Toronto specifically, there's been a lot of media around clogged sewers and how these things are really bad for their environment. But we had to figure out, how do you market a product that doesn't exist yet, it hasn't been approved yet by the Canadian version of the FDA? How do you do that? And it ties into sort of what we spoke about yesterday. We wanted to build sort of thought leadership around a lifestyle brand. So obviously this product is to be used to better your lifestyle. We tried to refine that a little bit because obviously both men and women want to have a more relaxed lifestyle, a better lifestyle, what have you. And we really segmented it down. We thought about what was popular at that particular time, and hockey was at the climax of the season, and obviously hockey is big in Canada. So we segmented to really focus on males in the age range of 30 to 55, and really wanted to start curating content that tailored to this particular demographic. So we would bring in health and wellness. We find health and wellness articles. We find different articles pertaining to the impact that these flushable wipes were having on the environment and on the sewer system to try to build awareness, build community around a brand that was not very glamorous, probably not going to be accepted mainstream just yet. But we were still able to build community, build engagement around.